In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's often said that in Genesis, the Bible begins in a garden, and in Revelation it ends in a city. Eden was, of course, no ordinary garden, and John's vision of the city in Revelation, in the passage we heard this morning, that vision is of no ordinary city, but a community totally imbued with the presence of God, so that all is perfection wherever you look. At Evensong yesterday, we sang that wonderful hymn by the medieval scholar Peter Abelard. Oh, what their joy and their glory must be, those endless Sabbaths the blessed ones see, in the endless Sabbath rest of heaven. We are freed to contemplate all that God has made, see that it is all very good, and be caught up in a glorious harmony, the sweet anthems of Zion. When the church gathers for worship, it is a foretaste of this heavenly city, as well as a flashback to the gathering in the upper room. And our gospel reading for today is part of that same scene in the upper room. And in typical Johannine fashion, the grammar of the passage is carefully constructed so that we look both back to the glorification of Jesus in his humble service during the Last Supper, but at the same time forwards to his glorification at the resurrection, the ascension, and at the end of time. Bishop Jeffrey's hymn that we shall sing at the offertory captures this same two-way vision when it speaks of Easter bread and Easter wine, foretaste of the life of heaven. And we sing that hymn to the tune called Humility, which again echoes John's version of the Last Supper with its portrayal of Jesus kneeling down and humbly washing his disciples' feet. To do that on Maundy Thursday is for me a powerful and moving sign of what it means to be a priest. You may not have sung that particular hymn before, but you will instantly recognize the tune as one we sing at Christmas, thus setting the whole of Jesus' earthly life and ministry in the context of humble service. This combination of words and music gets me every time. But look closely at those familiar words from John 13 that we heard this morning. I give you a new commandment, mandatum novum in Latin, from which we get Maundy, as in Maundy Thursday. A new commandment that you love one another. Not love everybody, not even love your enemies, but love one another. Just as he had said a few moments earlier when he said, you are to wash one another's feet. This is very strange. If we had not been misled by the very familiarity of these words, we might have thought we hadn't heard them properly. This gathering in the upper room is the church in embryo. So does it mean that the church should be solely concerned with its own affairs and problems? Surely not. As the often quoted saying of Archbishop William Temple says, the church is the only society that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members. In fact, this commandment to love one another was not new, for we find it in Leviticus chapter 19, for example, or in the Psalms. What is new, though, is the way Jesus meant it. that the disciples, the church, should love one another is intended as an instruction to model their lives on the Trinity, the mutual love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This love goes beyond God's love for us while we are still sinners, or in human terms, our love for those who hate us. It goes beyond that. It is a love that is part of the divine perfection, a love that is creative, healing, life-giving. And it's illustrated poetically in the first chapter of Genesis, where the Spirit of God moves over the formless, chaotic void, bringing order and life where there was none before. It is made visible at the baptism of Jesus, and in the glory which in John's Gospel shines forth in the opening verses. The light shines in the darkness, and the light was the life of men. And it shines forth again against the darkness of the crucifixion and the tomb. This love permeates the new life ushered in by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And by definition, this self-giving love of the Trinity has to be outward looking, overflowing into the life of all creation. A new commandment I give you, a commandment to model our lives and our love on the Trinity, a love that by its nature is a proof of our discipleship, a sign to the world, and which flows into the life of all, gathering them into the whole community of heaven, the city of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.